Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. On our Discord, we have started a play by post-adventure. Some of the characters are AI, some of them are real adventurers. Anyone is welcome to join. You just need to go to the thread and start posting. Here is one of the episodes of that play by post-adventure. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the adventure.
Mistweaver trots ahead, pausing at the truth archway with a thoughtful tilt of her head. Hesses. The path of truth is often the most perilous, but we must seek knowledge if we are to overcome the shadows that threaten us. She slips into the dimly lit hallway beyond, her emerald eyes flashing as she vanishes from sight, beckoning the others to follow. Come, friends. Let us unravel the tangled threads of the Court of Shattered Twilight. The faint sound of her paws padding against the marble echoes back to the group, urging them onward.
Azrael moves to the other side of Tin, and stops before venturing after Miss Weaver. The rest of them may not question your motives in being with us, but don't think for a moment I don't know you followed us here to either arrest or harm us. We need each other now, but betray them. Betray me, at your own risk. My demons see yours, Tin. I'd prefer to not have them clash. He doesn't wait for a reply, but moves forward so Mistweaver won't face anything alone.
The feline's ears perk up as she senses Azrael's approach, her eyes glinting with a feline smile. S-S-S-S, and here I thought only the Mercy Killers had demons. Azrael Vex. She turns to face him, her posture relaxed yet watchful. But your concern for your companions is admirable, if a bit late. Her tail flicks lazily behind her as she falls into step beside him, leading the way down the shadow-draped hallway. The truth, as we seek it here, may lead to more questions than answers, but that is often the nature of truth, is it not? A labyrinth with many twists and turns.
Serafina walks behind Tin, her gaze drifting between him and Azrael, a thoughtful expression on her face. She wonders at the motives of her companions, but keeps her concerns to herself, knowing that trust must be earned. As they move deeper into the castle, she focuses on the task at hand, studying the ancient runes etched into the walls, trying to decipher their secret. The path of truth, indeed. We must be cautious, yet open, in our pursuit. Her voice is soft, carrying a hint of reassurance. I have faith that together we will uncover the secrets of this forgotten court.
The truth archway leads into a grand circular chamber with a polished, reflective floor. Two identical statues stand at the far side, flanking two ornate doors. Each door glimmers faintly with shifting light, their surfaces engraved with runes too complex to discern. Above the doors, an inscription reads, "Only truth opens the path. Deception seals your fate." As the players approach, the statues animate, their blank faces shifting into humanoid forms of light and shadow. They step forward, mirroring each other perfectly. And one speaks in a steady, emotionless tone. We are the gatekeepers. Behind one of these doors lies the path forward. The other leads to ruin. One of us speaks only truth. The other, only lies. Ask but one question to one of us, and choose your door. The second figure adds, its voice identical but tinged with an unsettling edge. Choose carefully, mortals, for falsehood seals the door forever.
Mistweaver approaches the gatekeepers, her emerald eyes glowing with feline curiosity. SSS, a test of truth and deception then. How intriguing. She turns to Serafina, her expression thoughtful. Zaga, what question do you propose we ask? And to whom? We must choose wisely, lest the wrong door be chosen.
Gronk frowns, his brow furrowing as he ponders the predicament. Well, this is just peachy. We got statues that can talk and a couple doors with mysterious destinations. What's next? A riddle from a magic lamp? He shakes his head, trying to clear it of the absurdity of the situation. All right, Misty, you're the brainiac. Come up with a question and let's get this over with. Before I start poking at the statues to see if they're just holograms, Gronk cracks his knuckles ready for the next challenge.
Azrael smiles down at Mistraver, and offers with a mild gesture to allow her onto his shoulder for a ride. The concern has been there since the beginning. I didn't show up at that warehouse by accident. I intended to join your crew of merry men. And I agree. Truth may be the biggest labyrinth of all, and also the most telling. It's always either hidden, told, or dismissed, depending on someone's motives. I would be lying if I didn't say I was very anxious about our new friend's truth.
The sage considers the gatekeepers, her brow furrowed in thought. After a moment, she turns to Mistweaver, her expression determined. I propose we ask one question to test both their truths. We will ask, what is the purpose of the Court of Shattered Twilight? This query should reveal whether both or only one of them speaks the truth.
But how would we know which is lying and which is not? Do we know the purpose of the court?
Serafina's lavender eyes spark with insight as she considers the problem. If we're truly unsure of the court's purpose, then perhaps we can frame the question differently. We could ask each gatekeeper to elaborate on their understanding of the court's function. If both responses are consistent, we may have found a truth. If the answers contradict each other, then deception is at play.
Serafina's lavender eyes spark with insight as she considers the problem. If we're truly unsure of the court's purpose, then perhaps we can frame the question differently. We could ask each gatekeeper to elaborate on their understanding of the court's function. If both responses are consistent, we may have found a truth. If the answers contradict each other, then deception is at play. Suddenly, Serafina realizes they can only ask one question, so she can't ask both statues a question. Plus, they still need to figure out which door is the true door.
Realizing the limitation, Serafina bites her lower lip thoughtfully. I see the challenge now. We can only ask one question, and we need to determine which door holds the path forward. She turns to Mistweaver, her tone hopeful. Perhaps, my feline friend, you could propose a clever query that would reveal the truth about one of the doors. One that would give us a clearer sense of which path to choose. The gatekeepers seem to have a deep understanding of the court, and might offer more specific details if questioned correctly.
I think we need to think this through. One lies and on is only truth. If that is the case, we need to come up with a way to pit them against each other. Tin asks, if I were to ask the other guard, does the left door lead to freedom?
The left guard responds, he would say, yes.
Serafina listens intently to the left gatekeeper's response, then turns to Tin. An intriguing tactic, investigator. By pitting the gatekeepers against each other, we can expose the deception. She considers the possible outcomes. If the right gatekeeper confirms that the left door leads to freedom, we know the right one lies, and vice versa. With that knowledge, we can make an informed decision. The sage looks at the group, a determined gleam in her eyes. Shall we proceed with Tin's question and see which path the truth leads us to? The fate of our quest may depend on it.
Serafina, make a choice. Is it the left or right door that leads to freedom?
Serafina, feeling the weight of the choice, gazes at the twin doors before her. After a moment of contemplation, she makes a decision.
Grant gives a big shrug at Serafina's decision. Right it is, then. And if we get stuck, I'm still blaming those statues for the surprise party. He adjusts his grip on his axe, ready to face whatever lies beyond the chosen door. After you, Serafina. Gronk steps back, offering the sage a respectful bow, his expression a mix of anticipation and trepidation.
Tin grabs the handle of the left door and walks through.
Everyone finds themselves back on sigil, back on the floor of the warehouse. The guards are long gone.
Serafina feels a mix of relief and confusion as she steps out of the door, back onto the familiar ground of Sigil's warehouse. The experience, though intriguing, left her with more questions than answers. She glances around, taking stock of their surroundings, the empty space, the absence of the mercy killers. It seems they have returned to their point of origin, with no clear path forward in the Court of Shattered Twilight.
Gronk blinks in the sudden brightness of the warehouse, his disoriented gaze scanning the empty space. He rubs his eyes, trying to process what just transpired. Well, that was something. Back to Sigil, huh? Guess the mystery of the Court of Shattered Twilight will have to wait. He lets out a deep sigh, his shoulders relaxing a bit. So, investigator, what's the next move in this grand venture of ours? We still need to figure out why the Mercy Killers are on our tails, not to mention Tin's claim of a Mercy Killers case against me.
Noku glances around the warehouse. Looks like the Mercy Killers that pursued us with Tin are long gone, but I don't think this place is a useful safe house anymore. Do we need to find another place to hide out and plan?
They've been getting noise complaints and illicit activity reports for some time now, Tin chimes. Regardless of where we go, let's go quietly. Or we head back and try the right door.
As Tin looks back, the stairway to the basement is gone.
Gronk's mind whirls with a sudden revelation and the implications of their return to Sigil. As much as he wanted to unravel the mysteries of the Court of Shattered Twilight, their pressing concerns, his own situation with the Mercy Killers, and the growing threat to Sigil require attention.
Are we free in 112?
He looks at the others, his expression resolute. All right, let's head back to the streets of Sigil. We need to regroup and come up with a solid plan of attack. I'll see if any of my old contacts can sniff out more information on this Mercy Killers case against me. Meanwhile, Tin, we should get to the bottom of what exactly drew him into this mess.
Seraphina nods, her brow furrowed in thought. I'll reach out to some of my sage colleagues, see if they've noticed any patterns or anomalies that might be connected to the forces threatening our city. Perhaps together we can uncover a web of secrets and lies that have gone unnoticed. She turns to Gronk. And of course, I'll be keeping a close eye on the rumors and whispers of the City of Doors. If the Mercy Killers are involved, it's likely their reach extends beyond Tin's case against you. Noku, are you familiar with any reliable hideouts or meeting spots in the city that might suit our purposes?
Narrator, as the party steps out into the twisted streets of Sigil, the usual city noise feels muted, replaced by an oppressive silence. Ahead, a group of Debus hovers, their normally serene presence unsettlingly erratic. Their heads twitch sharply, and their glowing glyphs flicker with broken, incomprehensible patterns. One claws at a nearby wall, not to repair it, but to tear it open, revealing spiraling symbols that seem to shift when observed. A low hum rises beneath the cobblestones, resonating with faint, urgent whispers. As one Debus turns toward the party, its hollow gaze locks onto them, and its glyphs reform into a single, ominous symbol, a tightening spiral.
The feline's ears flatten against her skull as she senses the uneases in the city's very air.
This.
Something is amiss in Sigil. That eerie quiet and the Debus's erratic behavior don't bode well. She pads closer to Gronk, her emerald eyes searching his face for reassurance. Let's move with caution, friends. In times like these, the shadows of Sigil may grow long and hungry.
Seraphina's lavender eyes widen as she takes in the unsettling scene before them, her grip on her staff tightening. Indeed, the fabric of Sigil seems to be unraveling. The whispers of the Debus's glyphs carry an ominous message, a warning, or perhaps a harbinger of the darkness we fear. She turns to Gronk, her voice steady despite the unease in her heart. Lead the way, my friend. Let us find shelter and prepare for whatever trials lie ahead. We must be vigilant, for in the City of Doors, even the shadows can be deceivers. Seraphina turns to Mistweaver, a glimmer of determination in her eyes. I must confess, Mistweaver, your keen senses often prove invaluable. In this chaotic atmosphere, it is more crucial than ever to be aware of our surroundings and potential threat. Your vigilance is appreciated. She glances at Gronk, then back at the others, her tone taking on a hint of resolve. Now, let us proceed with caution and purpose. We will not let the Mercy Killers or these strange occurrences intimidate us. Our city needs our protection and insight now more than ever.
Gronk nods, his expression grim as he surveys their surroundings. You heard the lady, friends. Time to put our heads together and figure out our next move. He spits on the ground, his distaste for the Mercy Killers evident. That bunch won't be happy about us slipping through their fingers, so we best stay one step ahead. Gronk starts walking, keeping a wary eye on the Debus. Come on, let's find a decent inn or safe house. We've got a city to save and some splaining to do. He winks at Tin, a hint of mischief dancing in his eyes.
Miss Weaver pads alongside Gronk, her ears perked up, and her eyes darting around the strange, silent street. An inn or safe house would be a wise choice. Indeed, these are not normal times in Sigil. She glances at Serafina, a small feline smile playing on her lip. Zaga, your insight and experience will be invaluable in uncovering the truth behind these ominous whispers. Let us support each other, for in the shadows of the City of Doors, even the bravest hearts can falter.
Azrael looks around cautiously as they make their way through the City of Doors. Is an inn the best route with a city like this? We've come back having no information about what is happening or how it started. For all we know, it's the doing of the Mercy Killers. With the warehouse burned, I think a safe house is a better option, one that puts us away from anywhere the Mercy Killers may look. Do any of you have contacts on the city that could help, or that at least wouldn't fall to intimidation or threats of the Mercy Killers come at them for information? Tin, were any of the others named on the case against Gronk? Who do they know is with him?
Tin remarks, I think I know of a place and I'm going to use my streetwise.
Tin Lucra's safe house is a nondescript stone structure hidden in the shadow of grander buildings in a forgotten corner of the ladies' ward. The cracked facade and faded signage hint at a defunct cobbler's shop, but the interior is a stark contrast. Every inch of the space reflects Tin's dual nature as a red dragonborn paladin and a hexblade warlock. The main room is dimly lit, dominated by a heavy oak table strewn with maps of sigil, cryptic notes, and sketches of suspicious figures. A small alcove houses a shrine where his twin devotions are represented, a dragon-winged sword embedded in blackened stone, flanked by faintly glowing crimson scales. The air carries the faint scent of incense and charred wood. Hidden panels in the wall store his weapons and armor, while a trapdoor beneath a threadbare rug leads to a concealed tunnel system. Though modest in appearance, the space is a fortress of secrecy, prepared for any threat that might follow Tin into the city's depth.
Serafina steps into the safe house, her eyes widening at the sight of the maps and notes scattered across the table. She walks over, gently gathering some of the materials to examine them closer. Tin, these appear to be records of suspicious activities and possible Mercy Killer operations. Your keen investigative skills have certainly paid off in establishing this safe haven. She nods appreciatively at her companion's resourcefulness. How far do these leads extend? Could they point to the root of this disturbing turn of events in Sigil?
Serafina, you find something in the notes pointing to a possible source of the weird behavior of the Dabas. What is it?
Serafina's eyes widen as she examines the notes more closely. Amid the scattered writings, she finds a mention of a mysterious figure known as the Crypt Architect, an individual rumored to be manipulating the Dabas's behavior for their own unknown purposes. The cryptic passage speaks of an ancient ritual, the Awakening of the Watchers, which could be connected to the recent anomalies. She looks up, her expression grave as she shares her discovery. Friends, it seems we have found a potential lead. The notes hint at a figure called the Crypt Architect, who may be behind the Dabas's erratic behavior and the city's strange quiet.
Miss Weaver's ears perk up, intrigued by the mention of the Crypt Architect. SSS, a master manipulator, controlling the very essence of Sigil? How fascinating, yet unsettling. She pads over to Serafina, her tail swishing behind her as she inspects the notes. If this ritual, the Awakening of the Watchers, is indeed connected, we may need to locate a way into the city's crypts. Her emerald gaze meets Serafina's, a subtle nod of understanding passing between the two. Perhaps we can uncover more about the Crypt Architect's intentions, and put an end to this darkness before it engulfs the city entirely?
Tin nods. I had notes on the Crypt Architect, and never trusted the Mercy Killers. He walks over to a table and lays out a map of the Crypt Architect's last known lair. Serafina, look here. Tin points to the entrances and escape routes, and then looks up from the map at Serafina and Mistweaver. This is the ways in and out that I know of. We can get in through stealth or by brute force. Either way ends in a confrontation with the architect. What's the best approach?
Serafina studies the map of the Crypt Architect's lair, her brow furrowed in thought. She turns to Tin, a thoughtful expression on her face. Brute force may not be our wisest choice, Tin. We are dealing with an individual rumored to wield considerable arcane power. Stealth, I believe, is our best option. If we can infiltrate the lair undetected, we might be able to gather more information before confronting the architect directly. She gestures to the notes on the table, her voice taking on a more analytical tone. The awakening of the Watcher's ritual seems to be the key to understanding their motives.
Mistweaver listens intently, her feline ears perked forward.
As stealth, indeed.
We should move like whispers in the night, as silent as the shadows themselves. She nods at Seraphina's suggestion. The ritual may hold the secrets we need to stop this crypt architect and restore balance to Sigil. I propose we divide our forces. Gronk and Tin, your brute strength would be useful for any physical obstacles, while Azrael and I will handle the magical defenses. Seraphina, with your sage's insight, guide us through the ritual's intricacies. Mistweaver turns to Tin, her emerald gaze piercing.
Tin meets Mistweaver's gaze. For a moment, he is lost in her eyes. She is different from the others, and at once Tin forgets himself and slouches only for a moment. Remembering why he's here, he shifts his weight back to project strength. I, Gronk, you and I shall be the swords. You should look into my armory, I may have better equipment for you to don into battle. Prepare yourselves. And with that, Tin goes to ready himself and pick gear best suited for the attack.
Miss Weaver's ears perk up at Tin's mention of the armory, her curiosity piqued. SSS, an intriguing prospect. I'd love to explore your arsenal, Tin. She saunters over to the hidden panel, her agile form slipping into the secret compartment with fluid grace. Perhaps among the weapons, I'll find an enchanted piece that complements my natural abilities. Her voice carries a hint of excitement as she disappears into the hidden space. I'll meet you both back here, ready for our infiltration.
Gronk heads to the armory with Tin, his eyes scanning the assortment of weapons and armor. What's this? He picks up a black iron great axe with intricate runic engravings along the blade. This looks like it's seen some serious battle. Tin, what's the story behind this one? Gronk hefts the axe, feeling its weight and balance, his gaze reflecting a mix of curiosity and admiration. If this is the kind of gear we're working with, we might just give that crypt architect a run for their money.
Seraphina turns her attention to the notes on the ritual, her brow furrowed in concentration as she studies the cryptic writings. After several moments, she looks up, a note of caution in her eyes. Friends, it's crucial we proceed with caution during the ritual. The awakening of the Watchers may require specific artifacts or incantations, the misuse of which could have disastrous consequences. She gathers the relevant pages, her voice taking on a more instructional tone. If we're to succeed, we must understand the ritual's parameters and be prepared to adapt. Azrael, could you assist me in deciphering these ancient texts, please?
Tin looks at the blade and hefts it, tossing it around in a few military-style drills, smiles, and hands it back to Gronk. "'Twas mine," Tin says. During the Great Infection, when the streets of Sigil were crawling with zombified men, dark iron was the only thing that kept them from regenerating. It is a fine weapon for fighting magic such as this.
Gronk grips the dark iron great axe, a grin spreading across his face as he feels its familiar weight in his hands. Ah, that's the stuff. He gives the weapon a few experimental swings, the blade ringing out with a deep resonant tone. Dark iron, huh? Well, in that case, Tin, let's get ready to rumble. Gronk winks at his companion, a glint of excitement in his eyes. With this axe and your hexblade magic, I reckon we can handle whatever the crypt architect throws our way. Bring it on!
Mistweaver returns from the armory, a sly, feline smile playing on her lips as she pads back to the group. Ah, but there's a reason I'm here, Tin. My presence, my essence, serves as a protector. Her emerald eyes gleam with a knowing spark. In the shadows, I shall be the whisper of warning, the chill of menace, the unseen guardian. Your sword arms will strike, but it is I who shall keep the crypt architect's dark magic at bay, weaving an invisible web of power to thwart their sorceries. Mistweaver's tail flicks behind her as she assumes a watchful stance, her feline posture exuding confidence and readiness.
The party takes a full rest for the evening and regroups in the morning for their next action.
As the first light of dawn filters into Tin's safe house, Mistweaver stretches out on a narrow ledge,
her agile form unfolding like a cat in a sunbeam. She yawns, revealing a hint of razor-sharp teeth, then gazes at her companions with an almost mischievous gleam in her emerald eyes. Os-ss. I rested well, and now I'm ready for the hunt. The crypt architect will not know what hit them with Mistweaver on their tail. She saunters over to the group, her lithe form a fluid motion of grace and power. Shall we put an end to this darkness, friends? The shadows of Sigil await our decisive stride.
Seraphina nods, her eyes shining with determination as she turns to her companions. Yes, let us put an end to this architect's schemes and restore balance to our beloved city. We are ready to face whatever challenges lie ahead. She pauses, her voice taking on a softer tone. Remember, friends, in the face of darkness, our unity is our greatest strength. Together, we can overcome any obstacle.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.